This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I keep urging people, do not overreact to week one. It's week one. You don't necessarily win a Super Bowl or lose a Super Bowl, but what you do is you get your fan base thinking differently than they've thought all offseason with a loss, right? Yeah, it's a lot of football that's left to play. But what happens with the NFL is so much is built up or built down, right? Depending on how your team is being perceived. What can sometimes happen in week one is that all of it gets shot down, right? If you're a Cleveland fan, maybe you look at the Browns a lot differently today than you did while everybody else was praising your team all throughout the offseason. But some people have their teams in perspective. Some people know exactly what is going to happen this season. And I bring up the Dolphins once again because to lose like they did to the Baltimore Ravens in the opening game, to allow the Ravens to score 59 points, to have players now knowing what the strategy is for this organization, and to be honest with you, and fairly, not wanting to risk their careers on a team that is going to openly tank like that. I mean, think about a guy who gets hurt playing for the Dolphins this season who want to play meaningless football games. The problem with tanking in the NFL is it's hard to get players on board, but the other part is sometimes it's something you've got to do if you want to be competitive, right? I mean, you think about the Andrew Luck sweepstakes, for example. I was in Denver at the time where suck for luck was a big deal. People in Denver wanted to lose games. They weren't a good football team. They wanted to get a franchise quarterback, and knowing that Andrew Luck was going to be a game changer on board, people didn't mind losing. You know, we talk about this all the time. On one hand, you have to have a quarterback, but on the other hand, you don't want to put your franchise in a situation where you are throwing games away for that quarterback. But it's the only way to get better. As a Steeler fan, for example, I know the end of Ben Roethlisberger's career is coming pretty soon, but I don't know what the team is going to do after that. How are they going to look after that? It's the same with the Chargers. It's the same with, you know, a lot of other teams in the NFL that have got some good older quarterbacks, but that future may not be so bright. Well, Miami doesn't have anybody, and they're looking at the future and saying, we got to get one of these guys now and quickly. But how do you get the team and the fan base to buy in on a scenario that you're not publicly allowed to admit you're doing?
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks so much, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. Former Dallas Cowboy running back Emmitt Smith set to join us in half an hour. We'll talk to him about the upcoming the season, the Cowboys, and some really cool things he's involved with. So we'll have Emmitt Smith on coming up this hour. Hey, get into the game with our exclusive sports betting partners, betonline.net. Sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus reward on your first deposit and start betting on your favorite pro or college team. You can bet every spread, every total, every winner, loser. You can bet on which starting quarterback will be benched first, who's going to win the Heisman Trophy. You can get the fastest odds, updates, and payouts with our new sportsbook partners, betonline.net. Head over to betonline.net. Use your mobile device and join today. Use the promo code SBNation55 and get your 50% off welcome bonus. Get into all the action today with betonline.net, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so it's because it's fun on Twitter to watch O.J. Simpson comment.
Yes.
So O.J. was at a sports bar talking about
something.
Week one.
Yep, had his laptop in front of him, so you know he's following his fantasy team.
Do you think people come up to him and talk to him, or did they just stay away?
You know, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you have to ask yourself, too, when servers bring out the silverware, do they leave one utensil missing?
Sure. Would you go up to O.J. Simpson if he was at a sports bar? Would you be, would you say anything to him? It doesn't matter, good, bad.
You know, yeah, I think I would.
Yeah?
I'd be like, juice!
Juice!
Why not? I mean, he's more than he's going to be more than accommodating with fans because he's all about his image right now.
That's what I'm thinking. Right? I mean, you're never going to get you won't get the Heisman, you know, the Heisman push from O.J. Simpson. No. He'll be like more than welcome to.
I mean, I
try to show the world how kind he is.
I fully believe if you came in with a Buffalo Bills helmet, he would sign it.
I agree completely.
Now you just can't sell it.
No,
you have to promise you're not going to sell it.
Well, can you? He won't let you sell it, right?
I mean, I don't know. I just don't want him coming after me.
No, it's true. No. That's yours. That's yours.
That's mine. He was coming after his stuff.
He was coming after his stuff.
You know, we're fine.
He got arrested because what happened was he had some memorabilia taken.
From him,
stuff that he had, and then he couldn't get it back, and then he found them selling it, and then he set up a buy, then came in all guns blazing to go get his stuff. That's right. So, yeah, remember that woman Casey Anthony?
Yes.
Remember, she kill her kid or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Remember that? And I remember she got acquitted. And I remember I made the joke on Twitter. I said, don't worry, they'll get Casey Anthony when she comes back to get her stuff. And nobody got my joke.
Nah, they didn't.
They didn't play very well. I was like, all right, fine, whatever.
Maybe it's but, not well know, known enough.
Not well What's known enough, I think.
Today?
It might have been a bad joke. It might have been in bad taste. And people said, that's a terrible joke.
You know what that joke? That joke came out before everyone started, before the phrase too soon.
Maybe so.
That's the issue.
Maybe so. That's probably too soon.
Too soon.
Too soon on a Casey Anthony come back and get her stuff joke? My God, what culture. If I can't make that, this is America.
I'm with you. I'd make the joke with you.
All right. What did OJ say about week one? Here's OJ.
I would have thrown an LOL your way.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
No, OJ, here's what OJ had to say about this NFL week one.
Nice.
Hey, two of the world, yours truly. Doing pretty good on opening day. I would be doing a little better if those coaches in Philly would have been giving Jordan Howard the ball a little more. The man averaged 7 yards a carry. You were trying to protect the lead at one point. Give the man the ball. Run that clock out. I want to say to Commissioner Goodell, you know, you're quick to find players. Don't you think maybe you should find management sometime, maybe the owners of Miami, putting that product on the field? How could you do that to the fans of Miami? I'm just saying.
Could somebody give that guy a Ricola or like hot tea with lemon or something along those lines? Where was he at a Metallica concert last night?
I think so.
Screaming at the top of his lungs.
But you know what?
What was that voice?
See, I'm usually on the side of I'm going to agree with OJ just simply because I'm afraid.
Right.
You know, he already took down one Ron.
Not too soon.
Not too soon.
Well, yeah, so what did you agree with him on, the Jordan Howard situation?
No, that the NFL needs, Goodell needs to levy some fines on the Dolphins.
Yeah, that's very true. I agree completely.
I'm 100% in agreement with O.J. on whatever the Dolphins are putting out there. I mean, it's not even a Division II team.
That's a mess. That's a mess. That's got to be nipped in the bud. If I'm Goodell, I got to investigate this. I would talk to players. I would literally have, you know, a meeting with players, especially the ones that want to get traded. I'd be on the phone to their agents going, can we talk to them? Because I want to know what the game plan was. Like, look, it's okay to lose games, but if they're telling me that, look, you know, normally in that situation, we'd be in a nickel defense, let's say, all right? And then all of a sudden they had us in this defense and we didn't know why. Or they normally on this 3rd and 7, we'd have this offensive set and we had this offensive set for no reason. Like, if there's enough players to corroborate that the coaching staff consistently put them in bad situations to fail, if I'm Goodell, I want to get to the bottom of that.
Yes. Quickly.
Because let me tell you something, and it goes back to I've said this before, and I want to make this clear. This is very consistent. Commissioners of all sports, one of their biggest fears is not the rogue athlete that, you know, commits domestic assault or does drugs or uses a handgun. They can handle that. What they can't handle and they have a hard time repairing is when the integrity of their sport is challenged, is taken down. They have a hard time with that. Fixing games, for example, or rigging games, for example, that is something that they can't overcome. Do you remember when David Stern had the Tim Donaghy problem?
Yes.
Remember how angry he was at that? Remember the press conference? He was seething, Remember that? Because Tim Donnie was going on out there saying, yeah, the NBA has been rigging games forever. They've been telling us how to call games or whatever, you know, and he was livid because it's, you can't overcome it.
We saw the NBA make an owner sell his team.
Right.
Because of the integrity of their sport.
Exactly. So you have a problem with the Dolphins, and if they are selling tickets to games that are not square, right, that they're not on the up and up, it's okay to lose. But if you're actively losing, that game is not on the up and up, and you're charging full ticket. If I'm Goodell, I'm on top. I got to be on top of this.
Yeah, you got to keep a close eye. You got to watch week two now with a microscope. Yeah,
you really do. And I'd be interviewing every single player that demanded a trade. I'd talk to every player's agent.
Well, that's easy, Tony, because there's only three who didn't.
Yeah, right? There's 50 players that asked for a trade. And that tells you something. That tells you that they don't want to risk their livelihood playing for a team that doesn't want to win games.
And I can tell you who the three players are.
Yeah. Who are the three players?
I'm guessing.
Go ahead.
I'm going to venture a guess. Long snapper, holder, kicker.
Probably right. Yeah, exactly. Guys are like, oh, I don't have any problems with this.
Yep.
Right? I mean,
because I'm going to assume the punter is the holder.
That's a big problem, man. That is a big problem for the league. Look, it's a problem for the NBA when the NBA tanks, when the team's tanked in the NBA, right? Knowing they could get a number one draft. You know, whether it was David Stern or Adam Silver, they were like, you can't do this. Guys, we charge money for tickets. We can't sell tickets of games that you're actively trying to lose. Yeah.
Do you think Josh Rosen? Mind? I have to imagine Josh Rosen is on the phone with his agent every hour. He's probably on his phone with his agent during that game saying, dude, get me out of here.
I got to get out of here. I can't do this.
I was a 10th pick overall. Well, he was 10th overall, right? Yeah.
Yep.
He was 10th overall. Lasted 1 year with the team that chose him. They shipped him off. Now he's in Miami. He's not the starting quarterback. He's the backup to Fitzpatrick. He knows he's going to get a starting gig. It's written in the stars. It's guarantee that he's going to start a game somewhere down the road. But if he's on a team if they are actively losing, it's because Miami wants to get their franchise guy. And Josh Rosen is not their franchise guy.
Right.
So
very true.
He's got to get out of there as quickly as he can, or else it's just wasted NFL career.
And Brian Flores, if they are actively doing this, we're like, look, we're not going to get the players to miss tackles and fumble the football on purpose. We're not going to do that. But like I was saying earlier, we can call the wrong plays in the wrong formations.
Yep.
Like we can do that.
Yeah. We're not telling guys to lay down or not tackle or, you know, actively, you know, dive for this guy, but completely miss him.
And if there's something like that going on, how in the world did Flores sign off on that? He could have chilled out in New England and got a better head coaching gig. Why would you want to have your legacy be this? If it's true.
Oh, maybe he's looking back and going like, yep, Jimmy Johnson. He went 1-15 and then look where he ended up.
That's very true.
I can do the same.
He probably said there better be some guarantees on the bottom end.
Yeah.
You may not want Rosen around, but you better want me around.
And then on the plus side, you know, come wintertime, New England or Miami.
Yeah, make your pick. That's true. But I mean, God, it just to every week, that's too much of a grind, man. It is too much of a grind to go to camp, to then go to practice during the week, to watch film, break down film, get there at 4:30 in the morning, all night long to figure out how to lose. Like, if you're Goodell, get on top of this. All right, when we come back, we'll talk more about the NFL Week 1. I'll get some college notes I did want to get to this weekend because I got so much NFL to get to, but I did have some college thoughts. Coming up, it's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
Hi, this is Mike Herzing from Let's Talk Wheels with an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. You know, I borrowed my wife's truck the other night. Naturally, it was raining. I quickly noticed that her wiper blades were pretty useless. Now, wiper blades are one of those things that you forget about until you need them. Now, if you haven't replaced your wiper blades in the last year, make a note to pick up a set at a discount store next time you go. Until then, go out to your car with a paper towel and some alcohol or glass cleaner, raise the wiper, wet the paper towel with a cleaner, and run it along the edge of the wiper. This will remove the road grime that has gathered there, and it's going to be really nasty. This should help the wipers work better until you can replace them, and I do this every month or two. Now, while you're at the store, get some of the good washer fluid, which helps the wipers cut the grease. You're going to thank yourself the next rainy night. Hope this helps. This is Mike Kurz from Let's Talk Wheels, brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. More of my tips, go to letstalkwheels.com. That's letstalkwheels.com.
At at Jeep Adventure Days, you'll be ready to take on any forecast head on. And while some hide from the weather, you'll play surrounded by luxury in the Jeep Grand Cherokee. While others run away from the elements, you'll run toward them in the remarkably efficient Jeep Cherokee. While others see the weather as a foe, you'll see it as a friend in Jeep Compass, with over 70 standard and available safety and security features. And while others seek shelter, you'll find yourself right where you want to be, with nothing, not even a roof, standing between you and the weather, with the open-air freedom of Jeep Wrangler or Jeep Gladiator. Hurry in to Jeep Adventure Days for great deals on the most legendary SUV lineup. Jeep. When it rains, we shine. Jeep is a registered trademark.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Prepare for road trips before your travels begin. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simple preventative maintenance before you go will ensure a safe journey. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. So I did want to get to some college football over the weekend. LSU in Texas was great.
Fantastic.
Great.
God, that was...
It was a great game. That was a great game.
That just personified college football.
It really did. And here's the good thing about that game. Again, we live in a different world in college football. Some people miss the whole, man, every game really, really, really counts. But LSU is in great shape, and Texas is in great shape too.
That's not really a loss for Texas.
Exactly. Look, that's what my takeaway from that game was, is that both of these teams are in really good shape. LSU may not beat Alabama, but they might. And Texas may not beat Oklahoma, but they might. And that was my takeaway, was this was two really good teams playing. Somebody had to win this game, but the other team didn't lose this game and feel like, oh, they got some work to do, or there's a problem. Both of these teams were really good.
Because there were times during that game you thought all of a sudden, it's like, all right, well, okay, LSU is now separating. Texas is starting to drift off. But then as soon as you said that, as soon as you finished that sentence, Texas right back in.
Exactly.
Like, how did that happen?
Exactly. And it sets up the great thing about these. Now, remember, too, these two teams play second fiddle to two of the bigger programs in college football, right? Alabama and Oklahoma. And that's what I loved about this game, was getting a barometer on how good these teams are right now. LSU, you have an offense. You have a quarterback. I haven't seen the likes of this since maybe Jamarcus Russell, and I think this kid's better. Joe Burrow right now would get my Heisman vote if I was doing it on a weekly basis. It's great. And Texas, people were wondering, are you back? Are you back? Are you back? I don't think this loss sets you back at all. You beat Georgia at the Sugar Bowl, and you almost pulled this off against LSU, and that's a great LSU football team. And it doesn't matter. I don't care that you lost this game. I'm going to look forward to the Red River shootout rivalry, whatever it's called now, showdown, whatever it's called. I can't wait till you play Oklahoma. I can't wait. I loved what I saw out of both of these teams on Saturday. I mean, entertaining, and told me something about where we might be going with this.
You know, I know we don't really put too much in polls, or you can't put too much in polls, but even the polls, I think, got it right. LSU jumps up to 4.
Yep.
Texas only dropped to 12.
I agree completely. Do not punish the Longhorns for this.
Usually, if you're a top 10 team and you lose, you're most likely you're in like the top 20 all of a sudden, or you're in the 20s. Like, I've seen it so many times that it's so hard to move up, but it's so quickly to move down. I was happy that Texas only dropped 3 spots.
I don't care. You can send me the names of a kid who plays for Oklahoma State or Baylor's got this corner that's great. LSU has one of the most fearsome secondaries in college football.
Yep.
And Texas scored enough points to make me go, okay, this is going to be fun. These two teams are going to make this really interesting. Again, Alabama and LSU now, it's got an extra pop that I'm sorry, I didn't have the last couple of years. Every time they would try to tell me Alabama and LSU, you never know. I would go, yeah, I kind of know. Don't worry about it. I kind of know.
I've seen it.
I got it. Don't worry about it. I get it. And I know AJ McCarron came back in Death Valley in that one game. But for the most part, I've gone into every one of those games expecting Alabama to win and Alabama wins. I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to this game. I don't know how these teams are going to look when they finally play, but I was excited Saturday that these two teams may give the top runners in their conference a real show. I can't wait. And I know Texas won last year, but I'm really looking forward to it.
But Texas Oklahoma this year will be even better.
Right.
It'll mean even more.
Because Oklahoma won the rematch.
Yeah.
Right in the Big 12 title game last year. So But I loved it. But I was at the gym on Saturday, a place I normally don't go. And I'm not kidding when I tell you every single person stopped their workouts. There was about 15 of us gathered around the television to see if Army was going to pull that out.
Oh, my God.
Just to see if they were going to pull that out. Like, people went, screw it, I'll work out later.
Do you think there was a few Michigan fans going, again?
Again?
Not again.
To some younger ones where, it's, occurring way too soon. Like, that Appalachian State loss was in 2007. This is about 12 years later. So imagine you're, five.
Yep.
When that goes, and you're old enough to kind of know about that or remember that, or six.
Or remember
now
your
you're,
dad.
18.
Because most of these guys would be fans because of their dad.
Ugh, just, two in a lifetime? God, already? Ugh.
Now, and did you, you know what? I was a little annoyed with the fact that they started jumping in the stands.
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, come on, guys. I know. You were supposed to rout Army. This was supposed to be your cupcake game, one of them.
So our good friend Pete Futek at collegefootballnews.com had a really good point that I did want to give him credit for, that Clemson's victory over Texas A&M may have taken Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne out of the Heisman race.
Yeah, maybe.
Because neither one of them had big games. And that's the biggest game on their schedule. And now Clemson is going to play absolutely nobody until and possibly even through the ACC championship. They'll go 12-0 before the conference title game, and they play nobody.
Yep.
Absolutely nobody. And if you're Joe Burrow, for example, you may have a blitzkrieg game against Alabama. You can still make a lot of noise in the SEC when that kicks in. There's a lot. Now, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, we'll see how the Heismans look at Lawrence's complete overall statistical analysis when it's all said and done.
No,
but I think he's got a legit point.
Trevor Lawrence is going to have to put up numbers.
Yeah,
he's
real
have
numbers.
To put big, big numbers. Like, when they go and play Syracuse, I mean, because the game was, is it next week or 2 weeks from now when they play Syracuse?
I think next week.
Is it next week? That was supposed to be a big time game.
Yeah, that was supposed to be their big time game.
Well,
not anymore.
That's another takeaway you can take from the weekend. Maryland is for real.
By the way, Mike Loxley, who was a former Alabama coach, very good job at Maryland. That was a well prepared team that went up against Syracuse.
You think?
Well prepared. What was the final? 63-20 or something that?
I think Maryland.
They scored 42 points in the first half. That I know. Yeah. I forgot. I think they ended up with 63.
Maryland is somewhere in the neighborhood of two games in of scoring 700 points, I think.
Oh, God.
Something along those lines. My math might be off just a little bit, but. I think their first game, then they went 70-0.
Yes,
over
they did.
Howard.
Yeah, they did. They crushed Howard 70-0.
63 this week.
79-0.
79.
Was the score.
Yeah. So 79 points, 63. So they're regressing a little bit.
Yeah, they're going to play Temple this weekend. So
I guess I'm going to guess somewhere in the 50s. Seems to be the pattern.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And Colorado beat Nebraska, which for me personally is a cool thing to see. I have a lot of good friends in Colorado. That was a nice
comeback.
Game.
It was a comeback.
Very comeback win. 24 points in the fourth quarter to come out and then in overtime beating the Buffalo, beating Nebraska. You know what? I used to say for many, many years, I never thought Nebraska was a rival to Colorado. It was that Colorado liked having a rivalry with Nebraska. Nebraska, not so much. I kind of started thinking it might be different. Nebraska really, really wanted to win that game. They invaded Boulder. Boulder is not, it's not Tuscaloosa, all right? They're not filling up that stadium and standalone tickets and whatnot. When the Buffs are good, they'll fill. When they're not, it's a very apathetic group.
Now, is Nebraska having to suffer from 28-3 jokes?
Maybe so. Yeah, it's too bad. But that was a good win for the Buffs. And I like the Buffs program. Covered them for a few years. That was a very good win. And one of the top wins, at least in my time, of paying attention to the Buffaloes that I've seen. So a little couple of college football notes. Emmett Smith next.
Kane is in the building.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could be with us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Waiting on Emmett Smith to join us on the program. Former Dallas Cowboy running back. I was very vocal about supporting Ezekiel Elliott and his holdout. It's interesting, again, you talk to these running backs about where the position is and how important it still is in the NFL. And it is. It's still an important part of the way NFL offenses are designed. But it is felt over the last couple of years that the running back position, it doesn't feel that way, right? There's something about it in terms of perception. But you know, if you have a decent running back, it just opens up a lot of things. We kind of know this through our own thoughts and experiences in watching football. But yet, for whatever reason, they feel like the next guy is just around the corner, right? We have a running back, you know, maybe do we want to pay him? Do we not want to pay him? We don't want to overpay him. And yet they'll overpay a wide receiver. And obviously the quarterback, that's kind of a different level in a different class, but it feels like the running back position is getting almost not pushed out. That's not the way I kind of want to perceive it, but almost feels like it's diminished, even though we know it has incredible value. But we've gone through these cycles with this league before, right? It always seems to come back to the norm. There's all these trends. The offenses will go this way, and then we think that's where the NFL's future is going to be. And then it comes back to earth. It's either going to be tremendous offenses and then defenses and then back to offense again. But it always seems to come back. And, you know, you're talking about Emmett Smith, the all NFL's all-time leading rusher. I mean, it's one of those records that I just don't feel like I'm going to see broken in my lifetime, because I don't know if there's any longevity and real strong emphasis for somebody to be superly committed to the running game. Now, you never know. I mean, there might be, you know, somebody may have both a little bit of sort of the fountain of youth and the combination of a great scheme and offense that can shine for years and years and years like Smith had. But it's so different. It just feels like it is so different in this day and age in the National Football League. So, yeah, looking forward to his perspective on that. And also, you know, too, at a time when the Dallas Cowboys and him were winning Super Bowls, I mean, think about this. Their last Super Bowl championship came in 1996, January of 96. I mean, if you had said, that's it, you ain't going to see this for a very, very long time, I bet you would have won a lot of bets, right? Then the league changed, but the idea that the Cowboys have not been able to figure out how to get back to a Super Bowl, let alone win it, in a long time, close to 25 years almost, is really mind-boggling. Because you feel like that was an organization at the time that, yeah, it put together some good teams and good players, but it would always find a way to bring them in, always find a way to bring them into the fold. And they haven't. They haven't been able to do that yet. And I think that's one of the reasons so badly that Jerry Jones wants those guys. Joining us right now, NFL's all-time leading rusher and three-time Super Bowl champion, former Dallas Cowboy running back Emmett Smith, joining us on SB Nation AM. How are you, Emmett?
What's up?
Good. I got to tell you really quick. I was telling my wife, I married into the biggest Florida Gator family in the history of the world, I think. I was telling her, I said, hey, we have a former Dallas Cowboy running back Emmett Smith coming on the show. And she quickly said, former Florida Gator running back Emmett Smith. So I had to bring that in, if you didn't mind. I had to bring that into fruition.
No, it's all good. Once a Gator, always a Gator. Go Gator Nation.
That's right. Tell us about what you're doing here. We got the Marriott Bonvoy Combine Masterclass, and this is for people who want to know how they'd rank in a combine. What's that about?
Well, this program, the Marriott Bonvoy Combine Masterclass, is for Marriott members, and so they get a chance to utilize and bid their points to try and compete with other Marriott members to win this opportunity to be a part of the Combine Masterclass, and so. If you are the fortunate winner, you get to come out with myself, and I get a chance to give you some pointers and some tips, take you through some drills that NFL players would go through at the combine and do some testing here and there, and give you some insight in terms of what it's like to be in that situation, a combine situation that is, and how to try to beat the system and learn how to compete at the combine.
Also, there's an opportunity for fans to do a sleepover at the Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah. There's the Marriott Super Bowl sleepover contest. That contest itself is awesome. I mean, Marriott is going to come in and transform one of the suites into a Marriott suite. and you and three of your friends get an opportunity to sleep over the night before the Super Bowl and enjoy that moment in the stadium. And you never know, on Super Bowl Sunday, you might have a player like myself show up to have breakfast with you in the stadium. You might have a player, other players show up just to enjoy the moment. And so it's one of those things where very unique experience. One thing about Marriott and the Bonvoy program is that we're creating these moments. You know, life is about moments. Can you have a special moment, a moment to remember? And this is one of those things that as a Marriott member, you can have many, many moments.
Where can viewers go to learn more about this program in a moment?
Moments.MarriottBonvoy.com.
All right. Let me ask you this. I was talking about this before you came on. As the all-time NFL leading rusher, in 2019, Emmett, how do you perceive your position in this league? There's people who have started diminishing the value of running backs. How do you perceive this?
Well, I can understand why they're probably diminishing the running back position, because you only have a handful of running backs that can actually shoulder the load. When I say shoulder the load, carrying that ball probably 375-plus times a year. And not only that, but having 45, 50, 60 catches a year. So they're touching the ball pretty close to 450, almost 500 times throughout the course of the season. And they're probably serving as about 30 to 45% of an offensive unit plays. And so when you have a player like that, you only have a handful of guys in the National Football League that can do that and stay healthy throughout the course of the year. Ezekiel Elliott is one of those guys. Le'Veon Bell has proven to be another one of those guys. And you're looking for that third or that fourth guy. So I can understand how the National Football League will devalue those positions. But when you have those special guys, and Ezekiel Elliott is one of those special guys, you absolutely have to take care of that guy and compensate him accordingly.
Is that why his holdout was important? It's not just for him personally to be financially paid, but as a position as a whole, for that to say, hey, look, when you get this talent, it has to be on the same level as other skill positions.
I think so. I mean, period. I mean, there's some quarterbacks that's not worthy of the dollars that they're getting, to be honest with you, because they haven't performed like that. And so, but at the end of the day, it's about that position and how that position stacks up, or that player stacks up, individual player, not that position, the individual player, how that individual player stacks up with the rest of the league and their performance.
One of the trademarks of your career, being the all-time leading rusher, was one, durability, and the length of time you spent in this league. Emmett, if it was an 18-game schedule, how would you have dealt with it then? Do you think it's a good idea to go to it now?
I don't think it's a good idea at all. We're talking about head concussions. We're talking about all kind of trauma. So why would you extend it to more games? That's more hits than players have to take. They would have to take. So why would you extend more games? It's counterproductive.
Did you find any value at all, even whether it was early in your career, later in your career, when you were maybe working out some new things? Did you find any value in preseason games at all?
There's some value. I don't think you need to have as many preseason games, but there's some value in terms of getting out there and evaluating who can make the squad, who you have as a substitute, and so forth. And as a player, I think there's a little value in terms of getting some game experience. But, you know, that value is minuscule to when you start a season. There's players that have not played in not one preseason game. And then when the season comes around, opening day, you see them on the football field, and they're performing like they've never left the field. So there are guys out there that know how to prepare themselves to play in football games.
Emmett Smith joining us on SB Nation Radio. One final question, and I want to get to the Cowboy brand, because, listen, I don't want to diminish anybody winning a Super Bowl for any team whatsoever. It's an unbelievable accomplishment. But winning three with the Dallas Cowboys, a global brand, how different do you feel that was than other Super Bowls and other Super Bowl champions?
Well, I think it's completely different, because when you talk about the Dallas Cowboys, you're talking about a global brand. Not every NFL team has a global brand like the Dallas Cowboys. And so when you win three Super Bowls and you're playing in games that others other teams probably didn't have a chance to play in, like on the Thanksgiving Day. Global experience. Everybody around the globe is probably watching Thanksgiving Day, and that's what the Cowboys did back in the day, and that's one reason why the Cowboys is one of those global recognized brands. They've been shot around the world so many times, and we have the best chili, is what you're talking about. You cannot get confused. So when you start thinking about the brand of the Cowboys, it's top to bottom. And when you're performing on a national stage or international stage like the Super Bowl, the way the Cowboys have in our past, you know, there are so many eyeballs on that Super Bowl. And for some reason, the Cowboys have done a very good job of capturing the imagination of the world.
Again, former Cowboys quarterback, running back, and Hall of Famer Emmitt Smith, also former Florida Gator. I'll throw that in as well. Emmitt, thank you so much for your time, my friend. Appreciate it.
Thank you guys.
You got it. Emmitt Smith joining us. And again, a chance to sleep at the Super Bowl stadium. It's the weirdest contest prize I've heard, but it's fantastic.
How awesome would that be?
I've never heard something like this before, where they're going to take somebody and they're going to sleep at the stadium the night before the Super Bowl. No,
basically, they're going to make the suite into a hotel room.
That's right.
Fantastic. Talk about the greatest patio of a hotel suite ever.
Oh, God. When everybody gets up in the morning to sort of get the early morning set up, so like, oh, I got to get up. Can I just hit the snooze button? Can I hang out here?
I mean, not only that, but no, but if you think about this.
That's great.
Picture this in your head, if you will. You know, I mean, I don't know how early they get to the actual Super Bowl game day to start setting up the field with all the, you know, all the sound booths, the television studios, for ESPN and NFL Network, and, you know, or just even the sound stages that they're going to do, all the mic checks they're going to do. You're going to be sitting there watching it in your robe.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Sitting back enjoying
having a nice hot cup of coffee.
Or a mimosa.
And then Emmitt Smith comes knocking on your door saying, hey, man, can I join you for breakfast?
Yeah, that's great. That's
sure.
A great contest. That's pretty cool. That is a pretty cool idea. God, I've seen a lot of weird stuff, weird contests, but that is one of the coolest prizes.
That is I love that.
That's pretty neat.
Are we allowed to enter?
No, I don't know. Could we? Why not? Wait a minute. We're not. Why not? I always say no. That's my natural reaction to everything.
It's not us putting it on. Because
no.
If it was us putting it on, you know what? The fix would be in.
That's right.
You know, we would definitely be hurting the integrity of sports radio if that happened.
God. Now I want to go to the Super Bowl just to find the guy who did get to sleep over.
I just want to be one of his three friends.
Just hang out. How was that like?
Remember, it's not just him. It's him and three buddies.
God. Well, that's going to be at Miami, right?
Yes.
Well, I know this. If you go now and sleep at the stadium, you get a very, very good night's sleep into the next morning. You can sleep in. Nobody's going
to
bother you.
Okay. The only thing I want to know, we need to find who the contest winner is going to be. Maybe talk to him afterwards. Because I want to know, hey, when you went out partying the night before, how hard was it to get back to your room?
Right.
I mean, if you're knocking on the door to the stadium, I just wanted to go to bed.
Yeah, I need to sleep this off. I really chased it last night.
This isn't a hotel, sir. Oh, no, no, no. My room.
It is tonight. Yeah. It is tonight. Exactly. All right. Thanks to Emmitt Smith joining us. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so the Saints and the Texans play tonight on Monday Night Football, and then you got the Broncos and the Raiders, the doubleheader to open up the season. By the way, this hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Useless bit of information for tonight's game, Ron Culver. Saints have not won a season opener since 2013.
Yeah, that's useless.
That is useless. But you never know. They went 13-3 last year, losing their opening game. Who'd they lose to? I think they lost to Tampa Bay
last year
in the opening game of the season.
Yeah, remember that was Fitzpatrick.
It's magic. Like,
what? Who's this guy?
So it's 2013, the last time they won a season opener. Broncos and Raiders also tonight. So I'm looking forward to seeing the offensive line for the Houston Texans with Laramie Tunsil. We'll see. And the Jadavion-less defense. No Clowney. So that's the only thing I got going. And Breeze, of course. I like watching Breeze. But And then the Broncos, we'll see. I mean, it's just that second game is just not a kicker. It's between two teams that are going to struggle in their own division. But nevertheless, and it's the late game, too. It starts where I live, where you live, too. It starts at 9:30.
Yeah.
It's a 9:35 start.
Yep.
It's late.
Probably not going to finish that one.
You know what? I remember telling people this. When I was a kid, I watched Monday Night Football started at 9 when I was a kid living on the East Coast in New Hampshire. And I watched it all my life, and I would have to go to bed. And then, you know, when I got older and I could stay up, I tried to stay up to watch some games. And some games I'd doze off, get up for school. But it wasn't until my first Monday Night Football game that I had to cover as a reporter that I realized how late 9 o'clock was for a kickoff. It was as I was driving into Foxborough, I was covering the Patriots and the Jets on a Monday night game. And I was pulling in, and I remember going, oh my God, this game doesn't start till 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
I was like, I am not going to get home until like 3:30 in the morning. Because I was, oh, and that was the game when I left, that was the game some girls came up to me and asked me for my autograph because they thought I was the Patriots kicker. I kid you not.
And you said, certainly, show me to your hotel room.
Their boyfriend set them up. They said, oh, go get his autograph. That's the kicker. I was like, do I look like a kicker?
What's wrong with kickers?
I know, no, nothing wrong with kicker. I'm just fat to be a kicker.